The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. 8th Canto, Chapter Number 4, Texts Number 11 and 12. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on January 1st, 2016, in Sydney, Australia.
Shishaka Vacha. Evam Shaptva Gata Agastya Bhagavam Nripa Sa Anuga Indradunya Api Rajarshi Dishtam Tat Upadharayam Apana Kaunjarim Yonim Atma Smriti Vinashinim Hari Archana Anubhavena Yat Gajatve Api Anusmriti Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Shaptva Gato Gascho Bhagavan Nripasanuga Indrajumna Pirajarshir Dishtantam Bupadharayan Apana Kamjarim Yonim Atmasmriti Vinashinim Haryarchananubhavena Yadgacvaipadyanusmriti Sri Shuka Uvacha Sri Shukadev Goswami said Evam Thus Shabdava After cursing, Gata left that place. Agastya, Agastya Muni, Bhagavan, so powerful, Nripa, O King, Sa Anuga, with his associates, Indrajumna, King Indrajumna, Api, also, Rajarshi, although he was a Rajarshi, Dishtam, because of past deeds, Tat, that curse, Ubadharayam, considering, Apana, got, Konjarim, of an elephant, Yonim, the species, Atmasmriti, remembrance of one's identity, Vinashinim, which destroys Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Archana Anubhavena, because of worshipping, yet that Gajadve, in the body of an elephant, Api, although Anusmriti, the opportunity to remember his past devotional service. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, after Agastya Muni had thus cursed King Indradumna, the Muni left that place along with his disciples. Since the king was a devotee, he accepted Agastya Muni's curse as welcome because it was the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although in his next life he got the body of an elephant, because of devotional service, he remembered how to worship and offer prayers to the Lord. Purport. This is the unique position of a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the king was cursed, he welcomed the curse Because a devotee is always aware that nothing can happen without desire of the Supreme Lord. Although the king was not at fault, Agastya Muni cursed him, and when this happened, the king considered it to be due to his past misdeeds. Tate nu kampam su shamikshamano, Bhagavatam 10:14:8. This is a practical example of how the devotee thinks. He regards any reverses in life as blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, instead of being agitated by such reverses, he continues his activities of devotional service, and Krishna takes care of him and enables him to be promoted to the spiritual world back to Godhead. If a devotee has to suffer the reactions of his past misdeeds, the Supreme Lord arranges for him to be given only a token of these reactions, and very soon he is freed from all the reactions of material contamination. One should therefore adhere to devotional service, and the Lord himself will very soon see to one's promotion to the spiritual world. A devotee should not be disturbed by unfortunate circumstances, but must continue his regular program depending on the Lord for everything. The word upadharyam, considering, is very significant in this verse. This word indicates that a devotee knows what is what. He understands what is happening in material, conditioned, or conditional life. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Vadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So we see here how Srila Prabhupada is making more emphatic the points we were discussing yesterday in the Bhagavatam class. For a devotee, there is no such thing as a reverse situation. It may appear to be a reverse situation, but that's material vision. A devotee sees everything as the special blessing of Krishna. This consciousness is called Krishna consciousness. And this consciousness we need to develop. At our present stage, we think, why did this have to happen to me? I didn't deserve this. Actually, we deserve much worse than the so-called reverses we are experiencing, as Prabhupada points out. We get a mere token. One who has taken up the path of bhakti very seriously, he's gotten initiated, he's serving his spiritual master faithfully, he sometimes faces apparent reverses, which are a mere token of what he actually deserves. 99.9999% of our karma is taken away at the time of initiation. But that little trace there helps us to stay sober, to stay fixed. and realizing this material world is a dangerous place. And I have to get out of here. I got to get back to my original position. So whatever difficulties we have here, they are a great blessing. This is why Kunti Devi was praying for more difficulties, more difficulties, more difficulties. This reminds me, Prabhupada used to say, what is the difficulty? But actually there's no difficulties. The difficulty is we think there are difficulties. That's the difficulty. So how to get out of this mindset of finding this is a difficulty, that is a difficulty, old age is a difficulty, disease is a difficulty. We have to develop shastra chakshus, spiritual vision. We have to see everything through the eyes of the scripture. Don't let your mind tell you what is what anymore. You have to intelligently see everything through the eyes of the scriptures, and then you will never be disturbed, you never feel unhappy, you never become bewildered or confused ever again. We just have to train ourselves how to see through the corrective lenses of the scriptures. Just like when your eyes go bad, I see some of you wearing glasses, you see, to correct your vision because your eyes went bad and you're wearing some glasses. So right now our eyes are all of us have bad eyes. We're seeing in terms of I am this body, I am the center, you see. We have bad vision. So you have to take on the shastric vision of seeing, no, I am not the center. Krishna is the center. No, I am not this body. The body is just a vehicle I'm using right now to serve Krishna or to foolishly try to enjoy this material world. So by seeing things through the eyes of the scripture, which is gained by hearing, hearing, hearing from the words of the sadhus. This word sadhu is an interesting word. Of course, it means saintly person. It also means one who cuts. See, the sadhu's words cut through the illusion, cut through the confusion, bring us out of this hellish material consciousness. And just like we sing every morning to Srila Prabhupada, that my only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from your lotus mouth. This hearing, hearing, hearing from the great teachers, the great acharyas, that Prabhupada has packed into these books, and from those who are purely following and living these books, the ISKCON preachers. By hearing from the great acharyas in these books, by hearing the recorded lectures of Srila Prabhupada, by hearing from the ISKCON preachers, this cuts through all this crud in our heart that's causing us so much misery and anxiety unnecessarily. There's no reason to ever suffer. Suffer is the pastime. Suffering is simply the pastime of fools, that's all. If you're suffering, that means you're a fool because you're identifying with this material, so-called material identity, you see. So we have to intelligently extricate ourselves from the mental plane. At least we should come to the intellectual plane, you see, of seeing everything through the eyes of the scripture. And that's, Prabhupada explains, the soul and the intelligence, they're next door neighbors, they're right next to each other, you see. So by that scriptural vision and understanding things scripturally and not mentally, that fixes you on the intellectual platform. And then by applying those realizations you have in your practical activities of rising early, chanting the holy names, giving up sinful activities, engaging in preaching activities, etc. This now takes you beyond the intellectual plane to the actual spiritual plane, the transcendental existence in the spiritual sky, Padavyoma, beyond this material existence. In fact, this process is so powerful. it is so surcharged with divine potencies that Prabhupada explains that simply by mastering this art of pleasing Krishna, even within this very lifetime, Krishna will reveal himself to you. You will see Krishna. He will speak with you, Prabhupada says. He will bless you. You can ask questions. He will answer your questions. Prabhupada personally wrote me like this. He said, if you will simply engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day with full sincerity of attitude, Krishna will personally come to you and answer all of your questions. So this is a powerful process. This is not just some church or some temple where you're doing some religious sentiments. You see. This is a scientific process where you can actually qualify yourself to personally meet God face to face. And even if we don't get to that level within this lifetime, the time of death, if we've tried our best to please Krishna with every thought, with every word, with every deed, in all times, places, and circumstances, then Krishna will be very kind to us, you see. Prabhupada said, the devotee, he goes to sleep, and he wakes up with Krishna. Just imagine. Instead of waking up in Sydney, you wake up in Goloka Vrindavan. Wow! That's awesome. And that's available. You just have to take the process seriously, you see. There's three things we have to do, as I many times explained. It's like we have a microphone here with three legs, a tripod on the mic stand, you see. Rupa Goswami lists the vital atoms of devotional service in the Nectar Devotion. Prabhupada lists them. What are the first three? These first three are the main thing. If you do these three things, and you do them well, and you do them fully, absorbing yourself in them completely, you're covered. You're now fixed up in Krishna consciousness. The first thing is you take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, Adaugarashvayam. That's the first item mentioned by Rupa Goswami. The second item is now you formalize that shelter by a vow called diksha, or initiation, that now I'm going to do this forever. This is my eternal commitment. Now I'm giving myself fully to you. I'm never going to leave your shelter ever. I'm always going to remain in your shelter. That's called diksha. And the third step is obedience. Now you've made the promise. Now you've got to keep your word. You've got to be honest. You can't be a cheater. You see? The Christians, they say, well, I accepted Jesus. Now I can do whatever I want. You see? You can't do that. That I've gotten initiated. Now Guru Maharaj will take my karma, no problem. If I fall down every couple of weeks, it's okay, no problem. Gurudev will save me. No, doesn't work that way. Prabhupada wrote me a letter. He said, once or twice Krishna may excuse, but more than that, you risk completely losing everything. So one has to very carefully, sincerely obey the orders he has received from his spiritual master. No illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and chant at least 16 rounds a day while avoiding the 10 offenses as much as you possibly can. That's our vow. So we stick to that vow. We will make tangible progress every day on this pathway back to awakening our original divine consciousness, our Krishna consciousness. So, since we're flying out this morning to Chile, I wanted to end the class a little early, but we will ask for a few questions. Any of you want to have some questions? But, we gave some papers. Makes it easier for me. Does anyone have a question? Looks like there's no questions. Question, okay. All right. I am a simple housewife. I see you're breaking this on someone else's behalf. Okay. I'm a simple housewife. How can I serve Krishna all the time? By making your home a grihastha ashram and not a grihamedi pit. Make the house a Krishna conscious atmosphere. Rise early in the morning, have a Mangal Arati, sing the Gavastakam prayers, worship the Tulsi Devi, cook nice prasadam to offer to Krishna and feed your husband and your children. In this way, make a wonderful atmosphere. Have kirtan every day in the home. Read, have a reading every day in the home from Prabhupada's books. The temple is not simply a place for you to come and worship Krishna. It's also a place for you to learn what you're supposed to do at home. You take what we're doing here and you make a little replica of it in your own home. That's the idea of the temple. Otherwise, if you're not doing that, you should come live in the temple. This atmosphere is, we're showing you what atmosphere you should have in your home. So this, you have to make this your home, a miniature version of the temple. That's what you have to do. What does bhakti mean? It means devotion, because there are so many definitions according to one's own ideas. It's very simple. Bhakti yoga, it means devotional service. Devotion means love in practice. If I say I love you, but I don't do anything for you, then that's just love on the lips, you see. But bhakti or devotion is love in practice. Not only do I say I love you, but I prove it by what I do, by what I think about, by what I speak. You see, bhakti is love in action, mentally, verbally, and physically. That is bhakti. Okay, any more questions? On the internet, we have some questions. Yeah, we have some devotees tuned in from Europe, from South Africa, from India. Let's see what we got here. What are the ways to... It says fasten. I think they mean hasten. It was a typo. To hasten the process of spiritual awakening. Well, I tell you, the best way to do it is to take up the mission of Lord Chaitanya, you see. Lord Chaitanya has started a spiritual revolution for transforming the world. If you get in that mood of a spiritual revolutionary, I'm going to flood this planet with Harinam, with Prabhupada's books, with Prasadam. I want to make devotees, you see. That's the fast track. Because there's a little insider secret here. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. So that's the secret of how to hasten up your process. Instead of just thinking about your own awakening, meditate on this prayer from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Svastiyastu vashvashsakala rasidhidham dayantabhutani shivam mutodaya manastra rajam bhajatam madokshave naveshitam materapya maitaki. May there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. May all envious persons become pacified. Let everyone become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, because by engaging in devotional service, everybody will think of everybody else's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. So if you'll take up this revolutionary mood that may all living entities now become blessed with Krishna consciousness, let me live my life in such a way that my every thought, my every word, and my every deed is actually benefiting all the living entities throughout the whole material existence. If you have that mood, you're going to miss very, very rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. Now from South Africa, how does one use anger in the service of the Lord? By chastising the rascals. Of course, your prophet said to do it with a cool head, so it's not like you lose your temper kind of anger. But you take... just like I'm very angry at all these abortion clinics and all these slaughterhouses. It really makes me angry. So you dedicate your life to putting a stop to the nonsense. That's how you use anger, you see. By distributing books, Harinam, preaching, establishing the Vaishnava Siddhanta to defeat all this nonsense is going on in the world. That's the proper utilization of anger. From India. Austin. Kashmir, yes.
Austin.
Oh, a question from Austin, Texas. How to respond when family members show affection based on bodily concept? Better to reciprocate with them. I mean, because that's all they know. I would reciprocate with them. I remember when I was a brahmachari, my mother and father visited, and my mom wanted to hug me, and I said, no, I'm a brahmachari. I realized later on I should have hugged her. You know. I mean, let's not be fanatical, you know. I should have hugged my mom. You know, my dad said, hug your mother, and I said, no. That's kind of fanatical. I was a young fanatical brahmachari. I mean, you know, I'm not going to fall in Maya for hugging my mom, you know. I mean, a little, you know, we have to relate with people in a way they can understand and then take them to a higher level. Let's see, now from Kashmir. How can we always remain in the mood of embracing the instructions we receive from our spiritual master? Just remember what Prabhupada did. You follow Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada was given the order that you must spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Actually, the English-speaking world. You must do this. So he accepted that order as his life and soul. So in the same way that Prabhupada has taken his Guru Maharaj's order as his life and soul, you should take the orders that your Guru Maharaj has given you as your very life and soul. Just following the example of Prabhupada. It's very simple. Okay, as you said, thinking is all about the difficulty. Then just by thinking, you can be happy and blissful. If you learn how to think in terms of the scripture, if you will train your mind to think shastrically, you'll be a very happy person, I guarantee you. By Krishna's mercy, I will start my journey as a preacher. What is your divine grace's... Well, I'm not that... What is your advice? Always remember Lord Chaitanya's order. Jari deka tari kahas... You must tell everyone you meet about Krishna. Your duty is to make everybody Krishna conscious. That's your assignment, okay? Now here's your duty. Make everybody in the world Krishna conscious. There's your duty. Now go for it. Simple thing. How to overcome material lust. I just got an email like that too this morning. Some people are having trouble with lust. The easiest way to overcome lust is to analyze it philosophically. Just like, you know, everybody has this desire for sex. And so how do you conquer it? You see, the material society teaches us sex is for fun. Just go out and have sex and enjoy yourself. You know, your life is meant to enjoy. But they engage in so many demonic activities because of that. They kill the children by abortion. They prevent the child to enter his mother's womb by birth control pills or condoms. All these things are demoniac. You are denying a living entity his right to life. It's murder, actually. Or obstruction of someone, not allowing them to actually take birth, which is tantamount to murder. So you have to understand lust, the sex desire is meant to encourage people to have sex, because otherwise no one would do it. It's so difficult to raise a child that there wasn't some heavenly pleasure to counteract it. No one would propagate the species. We'd go extinct as a human species. So sex is there is an impetus to have children. Prabhupada explains this in the Bhagavatam. So if you want to utilize lust, one brahmachari said, Prabhupada, how can we use lust in Krishna's service? You know, the answer is get married. If you're a brahmachari, you give it up. Sannyasi, you give it up. If you're a vanaprastha, you give it up. If you're a householder who's already had two or three kids, you give it up, you see? Lust isn't something you can use. You have an option of using it for Krishna. But you don't have to, because actually I'm not this body. I don't require to satisfy my lusty desires to be happy. It's not me. It's just some hormones buzzing around. It's not me. So you got to detach yourself from your body. You got to detach yourself from the conditioning we've gotten in the material world, which is sex, 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 sex. All the pop songs, all the billboards, all the movies, everywhere they're just glorifying sex, 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 sex. You see? So we're conditioned by it. We're very heavily poisoned and conditioned by this sex surcharged society in which we live. So we have to distance ourselves from it. That's why we have another culture called Vaishnava culture. That's why we dress differently. That's why we put on tilak. We distance ourselves from the sex-centered culture. And it works. It's practical. If you enter into Vaishnava culture, you cool off. You cool down. You realize, hey, I don't need this nonsense. I'm not this body. The holy name of Krishna is more pleasurable than sex. All I need is Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Okay, this will be the last one. Oh, there's one more on the internet. Okay. How can I make my mind the best friend instead of an enemy? You have to follow. Not too many more questions because I'm going to be late. We got an international flight. I don't want to be late. Okay, we're flying, crossing the whole Pacific Ocean to go into Chile, and I want to be late. Okay, so all right, we got three more now. How can I make my mind my best friend instead of an enemy? You just have to follow the great acharya in this regard, poet Govinda Das, the great devotee poet Govinda Das. Bajahu re mana Srinanda nandana Habhaya charanara vindare. My dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. So just follow Govinda Das's mood and you'll be in good shape. If your mind, if that doesn't work, the soft, sweet approach, my dear mind, then try the Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati approach. You beat your mind with shoes 100 times in the morning and at night 100 times with a broomstick. So whatever works for you, either the rose or the thunderbolt, but you got to bring your mind under control. Okay. I want to... As grihasthas, We may visit our parents and to try to give them some Krishna consciousness and show them we love them. But how should we relate to them if they want to eat meat and we take meals with them? Tell mom and dad, we love to visit you, but we're not going to come if there's meat. That's all. If there's meat, I'm not going to come because I just can't tolerate it. It's too disgusting for me. These poor innocent animals are being slaughtered. And I just can't take it. I can't handle it to see you all eating meat. So if you want to have a vegetarian dinner, I'm there. If you want to eat meat, I'm not going to come. Just lay down the law. And then they're the choice. Who do they want more? What do they want more, their child or some meat? What's more important to them, a piece of meat on the plate or to have their child come home? They can make that choice. Force them to make the choice. It's you or meat. Well, Mom and Dad, I see you like meat more than you like me, so what can I say? We're not going to meet today because you like meat more than me. I would just be strong with them. The thing is, even if they make an initial fuss, they'll give in, and you'll win. Here, trust me, you will win. If you're firm, you'll win. And they'll have... Even my family members, they agreed to have a vegetarian Christmas dinner. They usually had a turkey. But they agreed to have a vegetarian Christmas dinner, so my wife and I would come and join them. Okay. How do we maintain enthusiasm and determination when we face obstacle after obstacle almost all the time? You have to see these obstacles are not stumbling blocks, they are stepping stones. Each obstacle is an opportunity to go closer and closer to Krishna. You just have to see them as stepping stones and not as stumbling blocks. Because Kunti Devi is saying, Krishna, I love these obstacles. Please let me have more and more obstacles, because when I see them, I can only do nothing but see you. When I see you, I don't see birth and death. You see? So learn how to appreciate the obstacles as the greatest blessing. It's, you know, when they come, just say, be cool. Just to be cool about it. Say, okay, this is reminding me that I'm not God. I'm not the supreme controller. Things are happening beyond my control. I have to be humble and see, how can I deal with this in such a way that Krishna will be pleased with me? You see? Take the obstacle as an opportunity to become feeling even more dependent on Krishna. You see? Instead of getting all bewildered and angry and confused and frustrated, to say, okay, Krishna, thanks for reminding me I'm not the supreme controller. Please bless me to understand how to deal with this in a proper way that will facilitate my Krishna consciousness. So in this way, every obstacle would be, as what did Gandhi say, there's a silver lining in every cloud, you see. So in this way, you see, find that silver lining. Here is another opportunity to go closer and closer to the realm known as Shuddha Bhakti, or pure devotional service. Okay, we'll stop here. And we thank you all for coming. It was so wonderful to see so many devotees here. This is fantastic. This should be every day. We have to have New Year's Day every day, I think. Actually, Prabhupada said that. He said, every day is New Year's. So since Prabhupada said every day is New Year's, this would be like this every single day for Bhagavatam class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hi Krishna Maharaj. On behalf of all devotees here, I'd like to thank you for your visit. And thanks Nataji as well for coming to Sydney, making time to come here. This visit, I really felt that Prabhupada is extending his mercy through you. So he sent you to give us his mercy. Thank you very much for coming and for your classes and guidance. So I'd like to say a big Hari Bol from all the devotees. Welcome. Hari Bol.